American self-perceptions of being a chosen people and nation. This national self-importance is no secret, at home or abroad. For centuries, Americans have believed themselves special, a people and nation chosen by God to play a unique and even redemptive role in the world. Elected leaders tend to proselytize and promote this exceptionalism. Presidential inaugural addresses are a frequent venue, without appending the necessary historical cautions. Previous nations whose leaders and people believed much the same thing wound up deeply disillusioned, as when Spanish armadas were destroyed while flying holy banners at their mastheads, and when World War I German belt buckles proclaimed Gott mit uns became objects of derision in the Kaiser's defeated army. Millennial prophecies have fared no better. They conspicuously failed in the 4th century, at the millennium in 1000, amid the tumult of the medieval crusades, during the savage 17th century European religious wars, in pre-revolutionary New England, in the U.S. Civil War period, during World War I, and in 2000. In consequence, believers have time and time again had to work out elaborate explanations for why Jesus did not appear, why premillennial claims had not been borne out. Books and videos detailing and amplifying these relentless embarrassments and disappointments, as far as I know, few such exist, might offer a useful counterpoint to the end times and second coming materials marketed in such profusion by current fundamentalist drummers. Subsequent chapters will return to the high stakes of contemporary religious politics. However, one corollary, the importance of supposed biblical covenants with God in shaping self-perceived national identities as a new Israel, must be raised here. The relevance is that such peoples tend to be zealous, driven by history. Risky leadership for a great power. The pertinence of this self-image to the United States is visible from the first settlements through the 19th century, drawing upon the importance the public attached to Scripture. The South, as we will see, long ago passed New England as the region most caught up in manifest destiny and covenanted relationships with God. It has become the banner region of American exceptionalism, with no small admixture of Southern, they'd prefer a capital S, exceptionalism. Identification of the English colonies in North America as a new Israel enthused not only John Winthrop in New England, but the earlier settlers of Virginia. 17 years before Winthrop set down the Puritan covenant with the God of Israel on board the Arbella en route to Massachusetts in 1630, Anglican clergyman Alexander Whitaker, a founder of Virginia's Jamestown, penned Good News from Virginia. It assured Protestant England that 40 years were expired before Israel could plant in Canaan, and yet God had called them by the word of his mouth, had led them himself by an high hand. Yet may you boldly look for a shorter time of reward. Besides the British Isles, the post-Reformation geography of the New Israel aspiration also included the Puritan and Calvinist Netherlands. The embattled Protestant city-states elsewhere on the continent were all too small to think nationally, and we are talking about national psychologies. To historian Simon Schama, a specialist in both Britain and the Dutch Republic, the latter's Hebraic analogy was weightier than the former's Puritan Zion Albion. With vivid description, he envisions how, every Sunday, at least, a cascade of rhetoric would crash down from the pulpit, invoking the destiny of the Hebrews as though the congregation were itself a tribe of Israel. Lines dividing history and scripture dissolved as the meaning of Dutch independence and power was attributed to the providential selection of a new people to be as a light unto the nations. In this Netherlandish addendum to the Old Testament, the United Provinces featured as the new Zion. Philip II, who sent the Spanish Armada, as a king of Assyria, and William the Silent, the Dutch liberator, as a godly captain of Judah.